It is episode 28 of The Blaze. We are back after a one-week hiatus, and we have a loaded show here to get through today. Round two of the WHL playoffs here kicks off this weekend. We'll look back on our round one predictions and do some more here for round two. Landon Dupont gets exceptional status. We'll break that down and hear from some of the players involved in that decision. What's going on in Merritts with the Centennials? I really love the story considering the circumstances going on there with the Sens. More on that. An update on Ryan Michael, Blazer defenseman who underwent hip surgery. And sounds like another one is upcoming. So we'll update Ryan Michael's scenario. And just a great featured guest, we have Aaron Keller on the show, the former Blazer in his first year as Director of Player Personnel. We'll take a deep dive with Aaron about his job, the upcoming draft, players they're looking at. We'll talk about the import draft, and we'll dive into it with Aaron Keller here in our featured guest as well. Hey, congratulations to friend of the show, Dan DePalma. He's been named the goaltending coach for Canada's under-18 team for the World Championship set for Finland here coming up later on this month. In fact, comes up here in about 2 weeks or so, as he'll be part of that Canadian coaching staff. That announcement coming out Thursday afternoon. So a big congratulations to Dan DePalma. It is the Blaze River Shore Golf Links, where I played last week with Kevin. Kevin Oates, who the title sponsor of the show. We had a good 18 out there. It's been busy at River Shore already. Their first men's night, they had like over 170 signed up. So they picked up right where they left off. I know the River Shore Amateur has already sold out with a waiting list for the big summer attraction tournament, and things are greening up nicely at River Shore. Let's get into it. It is The Blaze, episode 28. Okay, the opener for Bry's Automotive and Customs. Bry's Automotive and Customs, they specialize in car, pickup truck repairs and restorations. They do car repainting. They basically do anything you need with over 60 years of automotive knowledge. Kevin, and a shout out again to Danny. Bry's Automotive, find them 125 Wilson Street on the North Shore for full service automotive repairs. Okay, let's get into it. Landon Dupont, Hockey Canada has made the call that he has exceptional status. The WHL did a very big news conference. They had a photo shoot. He's in the WHL jersey, and he will be coming to the WHL in the fall. Now, Scott Salmon, Hockey Canada makes this call. Scott Salmon, one of the higher-ups, discussing in the news conference about that Landon just seemed to fit the bill on the ice, but more importantly off the ice, to get this exceptional status tab, and it'll be the first ever time a WHL defenseman has received this exceptional status tag. Here's Scott Salmon.
I want to be very clear. The term exceptional is not reserved just for a player. The term exceptional is reserved equally as the important, and maybe more importantly, for the person. And so certainly when you watch Landon play, you're drawn to his skill, his skating, his talent, his edge work, his vision on the ice. But when you have an opportunity to meet him and to talk to him, to get to know him a little bit, you also understand the idea of exceptional character, exceptional integrity, exceptional maturity, which for a 14-year-old young man and for a 15-year-old next year to play in the league with 20-year-olds is incumbent. It's the most important thing.
Now, the one thing that kind of caught my eye, raised my eyebrow a little bit, and I'm not sure if there's anything more to it or not, no mention of the Everett Silvertips, who have the first overall selection. Everett never came up in Monday's news conference. Now, again, I don't think there's anything deeper than that. I still think they're planning to select him. But sometimes these go hand in hand, right? Like the team that has the first overall pick is part of it. But there you go. Mike Fraser, he could be the next general manager of the Silvertips as Dennis Williams is departing. As we know, he has taken a job with Bowling Green. And Mike's the assistant GM now. I go way back with Mike, like 20 years. He was a scout with the Swift Current Broncos. So he was in Brandon. And whenever the Broncos would come through, we'd get together. So he's worked his way up the scouting ranks to where he's likely going to be the next GM in Everett. And I asked him about Landon Dupont.
Landon's had an unbelievable year. And we've, as a staff, we've really watched him for two or three years now. and know what he brings to the table. In saying that, there's a ton of good players here in this draft, not just Landon, but, you know, really everybody that was in the lottery is going to get, a franchise-changing player, in my opinion. And so it's really up to us, and I've had these discussions with our staff in the past where, you know, no matter where you're picking, whether it's first or 22nd or, you know, even into the third, fourth round, you kind of want to make sure your list is accurate and you got everybody where they're supposed to be. So as exciting as it is to get that first pick, we still want to make sure we do our due diligence.
Now, remember, the pick they're using originally belonged to the Blazers in that Olin, Zellweger, Ryan Hofer deal. The Blazers, of course, the price of doing business in a Memorial Cup hosting year, not knowing at that point it would turn out to be the first overall pick. So kudos to Everett. They rolled the dice and it worked out for them. I asked Mike about that deal from their perspective just before the 2023 deadline.
Certainly when that all happened, we weren't sitting here thinking, oh, we might have the first pick the next year. That wasn't at all our thinking. But, it was tough to trade away those two players. Obviously, they were such valuable pieces and great, great people, like so good around the younger players and whatnot. But, you know, we knew it was a decision that probably needed to be made, to acquire some of these assets. And now we get to see, a little bit of the payoff from that.
Mike Fraser. So we wish him the best of luck in his, I'm sure he'd like that general manager position with the Silver Tips. Good luck, Mike. Another one who we've been talking to, Mickey DuPont, the former Blazer defenseman, Landon's dad. And if you're a regular around here, then you know that he was a guest on the podcast earlier this year. He seems to be taking everything in stride, but they have definitely a lot of different avenues in place to help their son navigate through this, not to mention the agency group. So here's Mickey talking about exceptional status for his son.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an honor and flattering for him, but I think it's just an opportunity for him to keep developing. Like, he has a lot of work to do. You know, we talk about that, him and I, and he's done great work up until now, but there's a long road ahead, and we're going to support him any way we can to reach his goals.
Blazers, by the way, have the 22nd overall pick in the first round. That's the Saskatoon Blade selection. They'll draft again early in round number two. 26 overall, I think that's Seattle's pick, 26 or 27. That's the opener for Bryce Automotive and Customs. Okay, let's go on the move for Thompson Valley Charters, family-owned bus company, looking for motor coach operators still. I've seen they've taken out some ads on some of the social media platforms. I'm seeing some ads out there on Facebook, but we're traditional legacy media around here on the radio. I guess maybe not. We're on the podcast here, too, of course. So if you know of someone, maybe a family member, maybe it's yourself, that wants to work for Thompson Valley Charters, help them out as a motor coach operator. You have the proper license. Find your ticket to travel and adventure, tvcbus.ca. You could also reply to them online, maybe on their Facebook page as well. Send them a message. Let's update Ryan Michael real quick. He did have the first of two surgeries here and is apparently rehabbing nicely. Had a little bit of maybe some pain and trouble walking when the first hip was done. And the plan is here in about a week's time or so, 2 weeks time, to have the second hip surgery done as well. Now, this is like a 6-month recovery process to return to play or return to activity. So long road for Mikey in the off season, but so far so good. One down and another to come. So have you been following the Merritt Centennial situation? Sold to new owners, and that new ownership group will transition them to the Kootenay International Junior Hockey League next season. Somewhat of a level down, even though the KI moving to Junior A status. Obviously, smaller markets involved. So Merritt playing out this year. They're in a battle of a first-round series with Salmon Arm right now. And at the end of the year, whenever that comes, they'll be blown up. Like basically all the players and maybe probably the coaching staff here too, right? So it's kind of like, it kind of reminded me of that, the Slapshot movie and the Chiefs, right? The team was for sale. Their future was in doubt and they kind of rallied around that and went on their run. And that's kind of the mentality that the Centennials are taking. We mentioned they're even with Salmon Arm, two wins apiece. That's a 3-6 series, I believe, in the first round. And I spoke to Centennials coach Brian Passmore about this whole situation. Quick clip.
If you were in our dressing room, you would just feel the energy from our group and how we're responding to this. And it's been nothing short of the last dance is what we're calling it. Motivated, very motivated team, and our guys are united. We're all in this together. We didn't ask for this. All of our players are BCHL worthy players. So, you know, obviously they have concerns about where they're going to play next year, but they're also playing to showcase themselves, to be like, what, where am I going to be next year? And teams would be looking at them. And, you know, I think anyone looking from the outside is saying it could have went one or two ways. We could have said, oh, well, you know, it was fun while it lasted, but I think we really have worked hard this year to get to this point, and we feel we're getting better and better. And yeah, last dance.
So it's a strange situation, and we want to say good luck to Merritt. We're pulling for them here to do something special in what's been 50 years of Junior A hockey in Merritt. That's on the move for Thompson Valley Charters. Okay, it's feature interview time, and it's for our friends at Hydra Power Wash with their mobile pressure washing services, and they service Kamloops and the entire BC interior. They specialize in heavy equipment and fleet washing, but they also do, you know, your household work, exterior window cleaning, full exterior house washes with their equipment, moss removal from roofs, and you can, hey, Christopher, give me a shout here. How's the spring going for you so far? Busy? Or you have some room? Info at hydropowerwash.ca. You can email him, text Christopher 250-851-1072, or you can just message them on Facebook or Instagram. They're active on their social media. Aaron Keller is wrapping up his first year as the Director of Player Personnel. He took on that job coming out of training camp when the former Director of Player Personnel moved on with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Aaron joins us on the line in the midst of a busy scouting season. Aaron, first of all, thanks for jumping onto the pod. And how's the last few weeks been here as you get around and check out all the kids here across Western Canada?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been really good. It's been an interesting year. Seen lots of good little hockey players playing at the U15 level. A couple of them have even played up at the U18 level. Right now, we're just in the midst of kind of going through our last provincial camps. Myself and most of our scouting crew just recently got back from Winnipeg, Manitoba, watching the Manitoba kids play in one of their final, I guess, showcases before Team Manitoba gets made. It's been really interesting. It's been really good. Lots of good little hockey players out there. So looking forward to the next month in the BAM draft.
We should talk about the big news that came out in the WHL this week, and that was Landon Dupont getting exceptional status. His dad, Mickey, a former Blazer, you missed him by a number of years, but you've seen Landon probably at a couple of events. He was down in Penticton for that CSSHL championship. What do you think of Landon Dupont?
Yeah, he's a really special player. Just statistically, even what he's done, he's in and around 2 points a game, I believe, as an underage, it's a Bantamage kid playing U18, and he's really special. It obviously would have been nice to see him pulling on a Blazer jersey, just like his dad, but that's kind of the part of the cost of doing business, I guess, when you host the Memorial Cup. We obviously knew that going in. That kid, he's going to be a really good player, obviously. He's already a good player. He just plays extremely smart, extremely skilled. Everett's going to have a good player here for whatever the next 3-4 years here moving forward. So very lucky.
That's the one thing we didn't hear out of the news conference was Everett, so we'll wait and see how that all plays out, if that is the destination or not. When you hold the power like the DuPont camp does, that can change things. But you'll pick 22nd overall in the draft, the Blazers will. And is it 26th or is it 27th in the second round there? What's that number?
I believe it's 26. I'm not 100% okay. Sure.
Yeah.
All I know, just looking at some of our preliminary lists that our scouts have kind of put together for us here, we're really confident that we're going to get a couple of really good players for our organization at both of those spots. Sean Kloos and Tim O'Donovan, they did a heck of a job kind of recouping a whole bunch of draft picks for us prior to the season starting. Honestly, our cupboards were pretty bare, and now we've got a lot of picks, so they've left our organization in a really positive spot here.
It's 8 picks in the first 4 rounds when you break it all down as far as your selection. I'm not sure if you can use all of those picks, and I know it's not maybe above your pay grade here. Maybe at some point the organization looks to move some of those picks forward for a year or two, or maybe you can. Can you take 8 players in the first 4 rounds here of this 09 group?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. Basically, what I've kind of been told, essentially, is that obviously, if we got the picks, we'll use them and we'll pick good players that'll help our team moving forward here. We do have, I guess, at least a couple 20-year-old spots that are also kind of in play with regards to potentially having to move some draft picks to acquire some good overage players for us. I've kind of already warned our scouting staff a little bit. Don't get super excited because some of these picks might not be there come draft day type of thing. But honestly, it's just going to be kind of see how it goes and wherever we're at come that time. All I know is that us as a scouting staff, we just kind of need to be prepared to have some good players ready and available for us should we be picking at that particular time.
You know, you had a son that went through the draft process and, you know, you really got to know that age group, the 05 age group. And now you're a director of player personnel and you're trying to project basically 14 and 15-year-olds into, you know, WHL players. Is that a challenge? And what's that like here for you and your staff?
Yeah, for sure. I guess just looking at from my perspective, it's really interesting being on the opposite side of things, I guess. I know for the kids, it was the first few months anyways, seemed like it was really stressful for them. They were always kind of probably looking at all the Western Hockey League scouts up in the stands, watching their every move type of thing. By the end of the year, it seemed like they all just kind of, whatever, it was just a part of their lives now. They forgot about it and they just got down to playing hockey. Yeah, it was a bit of a weird, different experience for me to go through as a player. Now that I'm on the other side of things, it's you see behind the curtain a little bit. For us as scouts, we literally we go to the rinks. We want to see these kids just perform the best that they can. We're us as a scouting staff, we're basically looking for smart, skilled, competitive kids that act and behave as good little human beings. And honestly, it's been a really great season for that. This 09 age group has been really refreshing for me just in terms of seeing how hard all these kids work and how much pride they take in being good people, being good hockey players, doing the absolute best that they can on a daily basis. And it's been impressive to watch.
When we chat, the word character comes up a lot, Aaron, in what you're looking for. Character seems to be, is that number one for you, or where would you put that as your list of, player attributes?
Yeah, I guess I don't know if you'd quantify it as number one or not. Character is obviously a big thing. This isn't, I guess just my thought process on it. This isn't an individual sport. You are going to be a part of a team. And on any given night, you're one of 20 kids that are on your team, helping your team try to win a hockey game. It just gets real hard if one person is kind of swimming in the opposite direction. We're a team. We're trying to develop kids into being the best teammates they can, as well as being the best little hockey players that they can be, type of thing, right? So character is huge. Being open to whatever, cheering for your buddy. It sounds so small and simple, but if kids can do that, I just feel that as a team, as a group, that they can achieve way more than what they could individually. And that's just kind of my thoughts or feelings on it. Whether it's the number one thing or not, who knows? There's so many other factors and variables that go into what makes up a good little hockey player, but it's definitely a big piece of it.
Blazers have been very lower mainland heavy the last number of years. I think back to, you know, when Matt Bardsley was the GM, Robbie Sandlin, you know, and even the next crop of players, you know, there's a lot of connections to the lower mainland. Like, you know, Tommy Lafreniere came in and he'll be a full-time guy likely next year. Ty Bunkowski came in, another lower mainland guy here. It seems to be where the Blazers have mined their players lately. Do you expect that trend to continue, or do you expect it to be spread out more over Western Canada?
Yeah, honestly, I guess we'll see. I honestly don't know. That just kind of seems to be the way that it's worked out over the past few years. Obviously, with us being a BC team, it's really important for us to make sure that BC is covered. With that being said, I honestly just... I don't know if I'm saying too much or not, but I honestly don't care where the kids are from. We're looking for good character kids that are smart and skilled and competitive. And whether they're from BC or Manitoba or somewhere down in the US, it honestly does not make that much of a difference to me. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see where the chips fall here coming up in about a month's time or so. When you're out scouting, you're also, you know, promoting a brand, and that Blazer brand, I hope, is strong at that level still, that Blazer B, everyone wears the jacket. And it's been, you know, you look at, you know, you've been able to recruit some top talent from some players that were on the fence over the last number of years. I think back to more like the Connor Levises and Mats Lindgren, who had Michigan commitments. You know, there was the Harrison Brunick thought that, you know, he was taken perhaps, you know, higher in an extra round or two than perhaps his skill level based on the fact that he was undecided. Are you confident going to those undecided kids or those ones that maybe have a 50-50 tag on them and drafting them and going after them and getting them into a Blazer jersey?
Yeah, for sure. I guess you'd always be a little bit, whatever, worried or skeptical a little bit if somebody's not fully committed. But that's where us as a scouting staff, we need to kind of really dig into any of these kids that might potentially be leaning the NCAA route, to be upfront with everything. Like that NCAA, CHL stuff, it's thrown everything a little bit out of whack or everybody for a bit of a loop here. So nobody really knows what's potentially coming down the road.
True. Yeah.
So there are more kind of almost questions and answers right now. Just for us, as far as being able to recruit and stuff, we've had, gosh, just look at our track record the last, whatever, 5-6 years type of thing. And we've had a ton of kids come through, a ton of kids get drafted in the NHL, a ton of kids signing contracts this past season even. Obviously not the best season. We knew that we were going to be rebuilding and whatnot, going with a young roster. But even there, we had Emmett Finney, who was a seventh-round NHL draft pick with Detroit, signed an NHL contract 8 or 9 months after he was drafted. There's been a ton of positives with our group and our organization. Honestly, us as scouts, obviously we sell our program as best we can, but the track record that the coaches and players that have been through here the last half dozen years or so, they've essentially sold the program as good as what we could do.
Americans have been a bit of a tough nut to crack for the organization. You'll pick sixth overall in the U.S. Prospects draft a day before the actual prospects draft. J.P. Hurlbert was a high-end selection late in last year's draft. He's the kid in Dallas that is one of the best, if not the best, in his age group. I just saw as we speak that he was named to the U.S. Under-17 team, so it looks like, you know, perhaps that route is the U.S. National Development Program. How do you guys go in there and find a high-end American and get him in a Blazer jersey? It's probably one of the more questions that I get from the fan base, or, you know, from some of our fan mail questions, is about trying to recruit some of these kids that have a lot of options, that have a lot of schools and NCAA programs after them.
Yeah, I guess, and that's the tough spot that we're in. Obviously, being from up in Canada, we run into that issue, I guess, with the top end U.S. kids. That they're going to have a ton of options. They're going to have NCAA teams obviously talking to them and trying to entice them to come their way. It just, along with that U.S. National Team Development Program, the high-end kids all have tons of options available, and I honestly don't know where small-town Canada fits on their whatever, their list of ideal landing spots type of thing. The problem, I guess, that we're not the only one, obviously. Anybody up north here would probably have those issues. For us, I guess this particular season, because that's all I can really speak to, again, nothing really changes. We're looking for, obviously, the best players that we can find that are potentially willing to come up here and play, at least to come up and basically give us a shot anyways, to come up to our training camp, potentially come up to our development camp, come check out our city, come check out our facilities, come meet the coaching staff. Beyond that, feel free to make up your decision type of thing, but if they're willing to kind of at least give us the opportunity to show off our program, and maybe they might come to like it, and we kind of can go from there. But that's the mindset going into that, into the U.S. draft for us.
Yeah, it seems like if you can get one of those kids to training camp, your odds go up immensely, because you get a chance to, you know, showcase your program. The import draft, CHL import draft, comes up here in July. Blazers have the second overall selection. Knowing how the organization works and how this draft works, this might be more of a Sean Clouston, Tim O'Donovan type duty, because it's so agent driven as far as the players go here. But your thoughts on that second overall pick and you know, the groundwork that goes into trying to get a high end player here for the fall?
Yeah, no, for sure, that definitely would be more along the GM and the assistant GMs, working their connections and whatnot. Having a second overall pick, it doesn't happen, obviously, all that often. So it is a little bit of a different situation than what we're used to. With that being said, like, it's extremely difficult. It is agent driven. You do need to rely on agents a lot, just in terms of who might be available, who might be willing to come. I guess the other part of it is we had two good Czech imports that we really liked this past year. So it's going to be really tough. It's going to be a tough decision and figuring out what's best for our organization moving forward. So we'll see.
Aaron, on a personal note, you know, you're doing a job that I think a lot of, like, armchair hockey fans would love to do. Like, you're managing a player personnel list of 50 and invites and drafts, and it's basically everybody has their own ESPN fantasy hockey team that they manage, and they you know, to make a career out of this would be something very desirable for people interested in hockey. You've coached, you've played at a professional level, you were a standout defenseman in the WHL with the Blazers. Did you ever think this was going to be your career path that you're in right now?
No. No, to be completely honest, I've been extremely fortunate and lucky to kind of, well, ultimately to end up in this position 100%. But just literally my entire hockey career, probably, I've been extremely fortunate and lucky. You don't get to kind of spend this much time being in the game, working in the game, without some breaks kind of falling your way. I just remember what, even when I was a kid, I'd hear that I was too small to play when I was in Bantams. Basically, at any point in time from there on, my career could have ended with the sport. But for whatever reason, yeah, I've been fortunate, get the odd lucky break, meet people at the right time in your life type of thing, and whatever, being willing to put in the work, and you create your own breaks to a certain degree. I just been very fortunate. So yeah, it's been super enjoyable, learned a ton, and hopefully I can keep learning so that, hopefully that we can, between myself and the rest of our scouting staff, that we can do a good job here for the Blazers organization.
Yeah, and you're never going to be the guy that is the loud voice in the room trying to gain attention by being the loudest and have people hear what you have to say. So you've done it sort of quietly and behind the scenes. But your world got thrown a little bit upside down, probably for the good, back at November when your son Jordan was traded to the Blazers, and then you wear two hats, right? Your hockey dad here, but your player personnel as well. What's that all been like to see Jordan in a Blazer jersey and, you know, be able to see games in person and sort of manage a couple of different, you know, hats with the team?
Yeah, honestly, it was a huge shock for me. I don't know, I guess this is a little bit of behind the scenes stuff, but honestly, Sean Clouston and Tim O'Donovan did not mention my kid's name ever in any trade discussions. They asked for my opinion on whatever certain players on different organizations that were potentially being made available and whatnot. I just give my upfront, honest opinion on these kids and let those guys kind of do their job. When the trade actually went down, I had Saskatoon, where my son had played, was down on their U.S. swing. I believe they were in Seattle at the time. Mm-hmm. I had literally just booked my wife and daughter hotels and travel insurance and whatnot for them to make the trip down there the next day to watch them play. When I got a call saying that, well, we think there's a deal in place, your kid's going to be coming home. So for me as a dad, I was in shock. As much or more so as my kid was probably. But obviously it was a happy, pretty incredible, situation that he'd be coming home. To be completely honest, back when he was a Bantam coming through that Bantam draft, we obviously had our fingers crossed that if he was good enough to be drafted, that he'd be drafted by the Blazers, but there's 22 teams. So we were, whatever. We were very realistic in terms of the odds of that actually happening. So to actually see him come back a few years later and wear the Blazer jersey, it's been really exciting and a proud moment for our family. So, yeah.
That's great. And I'll close on this, the local player aspect of it. You're right. And that's, I wanted to talk about that. The organization has, I don't know if the word missed is the right word, but there's been some local players that have been close to becoming Blazers, but have not initially. Your son, Jordan Keller, team had a chance to draft him initially, and that didn't happen. Tyson Galloway was another one that came through here. You know, you nailed Logan Stankoven. That was the Stu McGregor era. That was a pretty good pick. For me personally, I'd like to see if there is a local player available and maybe they're within a few spots on the master list or whatever you have, that you take the stab at the local player and get them into a Blazer jersey. They're from Kamloops. Maybe there's a bit more pride to wear that jersey. Is that at all a discussion point with the scouting staff?
Yeah, not necessarily within the staff. Like, I guess it is a little bit. We always acknowledge if whether it's anybody playing on the local Thompson Blazers U15 AAA team. Obviously, we know that they're from the area. Sometimes kids do go away to academies or whatever, and every one of our guys makes sure to mention that they are local. So just make sure that we've got extra eyes and we're paying attention to them. From my perspective, my position, I need to do what's best for the organization. Absolutely. If it's a toss up between a local Camels kid and somebody from somewhere else, 100%, we know where that pick is going. At the end of the day, my job and our scouts' job is to find the best possible players that we can for the team and for the organization. We'll put it this way, we can't manipulate our final draft list to the point where we're making exceptions, to the point where we hurt ourselves as opposed to help just to accommodate a local kid. But 100%, we're totally cognizant of it. I'd love to see more Camels kids here.
Well, on that note, you have the draft upcoming and a few different scouting missions here ahead, like the BC Cup and the Alberta Cup here in the weeks ahead. Aaron, great chat with you. I think our fans, you know you as a player and remember you as a player. And I know some of the media always talked about, you know, the type of player you were and were with the Blazers. And now a different side of you comes out here on the scouting side, on the player personnel side. And it's always great to kind of pick your brain and get your thoughts. Great job on this. And good luck at the upcoming draft here in a month.
Yeah, no, thanks, Keener. If I could just quickly say one more thing here. I just want to send a shout out to the fans this year. Obviously, they were awesome supporting a young rebuilding group. And just for myself personally, obviously I'm an employee of the team now, but as a parent as well, it was really impressive to see the amount of support that the young group of kids got from the fans, from the community. And it just bodes well for our franchise in the future.
Okay. Yeah, enjoy their last few weeks here before the big dance. Thanks again.
Thanks, Keener.
All right, Prospect Corner for Mastodon Equipment. Mastodon Equipment Repair, your mobile servicing and repair specialists. And they do a lot of things. They can come up with a preventative maintenance program for all your equipment, keep your equipment in tip-top shape, aerial work platform inspections, pre-purchase inspections, and emergency repairs. They have you covered. Go big, go with Mastodon. And we're in a bit of the off-season now with our prospects. But a really cool thing the Blazers have brought back is their prospect camp coming up in the beginning of June, I believe will be the dates. Watch social media for more info on that. But the Blazers will bring in the upcoming draft class here of the 2009 borns, which they will have 8 selections as we speak in the first 4 rounds. And then all the 08s, the players that will be 16-year-olds for next season. And all those that were drafted and I believe on their list. So we're in a bit of an off-season mode with Prospects Corner, but we want to thank Mastodon Equipment for sponsoring this segment. Hopefully back next year. I tell you, we'll do Prospects Corner if Mastodon Equipment is back. How about that? Okay, let's do some buying and selling for Kyle Panasek, Westwind, Royal LePage Realty in Kamloops. And the action is heating up out there on the housing market. Sounds like, you know, those houses between the 800,000 to a million mark are going fast. I know that we've had our eye on something in the city, just kind of kicking tires. And before you can even really set it up, it is gone. Like, we're talking one day on the market again. And once they, well, if they lower the interest rate, then everybody's going to jump back into the buyer's market, you'd think, with that good news when it comes down. They didn't touch the rate here this week. This is like more like a real estate show sometimes. But Kyle Panasek is your guy. If you're buying or you're selling, Kyle Panasek is a Westwind Royal LePage Realty trusted real estate professionals. Panny had this house in Brock and looked good and was gone the next day. So things are definitely heating up. Let's look back on our first round. We go 7-for-8 in our predictions of buying and selling in those first round series. The only one we got wrong, and I mean, tough one, right? Red Deer knocks off Medicine Hat. That's not a big surprise, but the fact they did it in 5. But the Rebels won that series with some late dramatics, like real late dramatics. They scored the big overtime winner in game 1. They rallied back. They scored with a second left on home ice. Kalen Lind had that game winner. basically like an overtime winner. So they found a way in five games. Tough matchup, though, here ahead. So we go 7-for-8. Let's see how we do in round two. Let's start Prince George and Kelowna. Hey, I'm buying
buy.
Prince George. The Cougars will be tough to stop. Completely healthy as well. And home ice advantage, which for them up there is pretty big right now. They'll have a couple of big crowds this weekend. And you have their head coach and GM, Mark Lamb, saying things like this when it comes to the Rockets.
I know one thing, we don't like them, and we'll keep it that way, that's for sure.
So how do you bet against them? You can't. PG wins, probably five games. Maybe a sweep. We'll wait and see. Everett, Portland. Real weird setup here with Everett and Portland. With I think there's building issues of booking. This time of year, there always is. So there's like a 3 or 4 day break between games 3 and 4 of the series. Portland opens up on home ice. Hearing Everett might have lost forward Austin Roost to an injury. He's one of their top offensive guys, if not their best guy. And we'll see if that is true. But if he's unavailable for any length amount in the series, that adds to the uphill battle. Portland was the better team head-to-head in the regular season. I think they win in five. We're buying Portland.
Bye.
Let's go over to the east. Saskatoon, Red Deer. Boy, Red Deer, can they ride some momentum here? This is a rematch last year. They went 7. Blades came back from 3-0 to win that series in 7. And I think the Blades just have too much for the Rebels. But Rebels might be able to take a bite out of them. We'll wait and see on that. But the Blades win this series. We'll call it 6.
Bye.
And the other series, this might be the best second round series. Moose Jaw, Swift Current. They've been eyeballing each other ever since the deadline. When Saskatoon had that big lead, they felt, okay, maybe these teams get to 2 and 3 in the conference. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly how it all played out. And they're meeting here in round two. Now, I'll say this. I hope I'm wrong when I give this prediction. I hope I'm wrong. It pains me to say it, but we're buying Moose Jaw Warriors. Not so much because we don't like Moose Jaw. We like Moose Jaw, but of course we have some ties to the Broncos and some people in the organization there. So we'll take, Moose Jaw in 6. Pains me to say that again. I hope I'm wrong. So we'll see how they pan out here. But I feel pretty good about those four teams moving forward. Back to the Blades here for a second. Their head coach, Brennan Sonny. We played the clip last episode where he was talking about the Blades being like a wolf pack where they will bite and claw and run and bite and scratch. It was kind of a viral clip that we, again, used here. I actually spoke to Brennan for the WHL radio show, the other podcast show we do. I didn't know this. He's from Clearwater. He was born there. He's a big hunter. So I guess, you know, this hits a bit close to home when he talks about that. And I asked him about that Wolfpack comment, if it was something off the cuff for him to say, or it's something the Blades are actually using.
I really love wildlife. I do. I love the outdoors, and I know a lot about wolves. And so that metaphor was actually a lot deeper than I even said publicly. You know, when a wolf pack is chasing down a moose, you know, sometimes the moose will get a good kick on a wolf. And it's the next member of the pack that gets up and keeps chasing. And that's really what it is. Wolves are persistent hunters. So they just run and run and run.
So there you have it. Interesting, to say the least. It is buying and selling. Kyle Panasek, Wes Wynn, Royal LePage, Realty Kamloops.
You've got mail.
Okay, let's go to fan mail now. It's for the Mattress King. Lots of people know the mattresses, of course, are featured at the Mattress King, but they're much more than that. Furniture, appliances, why pay retail? Come see the King. I haven't heard from the Mattress King in a while. Aaron has not been lighting up my phone. He should have been very interested in the fact that I watched Olin Zellweger play live. I know he's a big Zelly guy. So next time I see Aaron, I'll tell you about that one. How about that? Okay, let's go to the mailbag. Very light mailbag this week. We go to a DM question I received from Glenn, and the question is this. When scouting in Europe, do the Blazers and Stars collaborate on draft prospects? That's the first part of the question. I will say when the Blazers have their eyes on a couple potential players that could be available in the import draft, which is very agent-driven. Usually teams get a list from an agent or an agency about potential players that are willing to come over. Then, yes, Blazers will collaborate with the Stars scouts. There's some sort of just discussion that goes on between the two teams. For everybody thinking that the import draft is this, you know, highly scouted affair, it's really not. First of all, you can now basically watch tape on any player around the world online through an online program the team subscribed to. And this is more about, is a player willing to come over? And if so, then we move on to step number two. And a lot of this is, again, it's not great. It's not the most purest form of sports where maybe that agency wants you to take this player this year, you know, and then you'll almost agree perhaps to take one of their players next season that might not be as high end. It's sort of a give and take thing. I don't know how it really works. I just know that there isn't a lot of like, there isn't a big scouting list that comes out. It's very agent driven. Now, mind you, I think the Blazers would be very attractive this year for a high-end import player to be made available to them. So we'll see how that plays out. There's lots of opportunity here. Lots of opportunity to be a top-end player in your either draft-eligible season or perhaps just drafted. One thing that I'd like to see, Glenn, on that front is if the Stars select a high-end European player in the NHL draft, then somehow the Blazers find a way to draft that player and bring him over in collaboration with the Stars. It's just, again, it's not that simple. You'd think it would be, but these players have options. Many stay in Europe. Many can play pro. But that second overall pick is very intriguing. Glenn went on to say, we've drafted a bunch of kids out of Dallas, but it's a shame that no one has really come north. He's right. Again, these kids down south, they think about the U.S. National Development Program. They think of NCAA hockey, the WHL, Kamloops Blazers, not really on the radar down there. You got to kind of put yourself in their shoes of what they've grown up with. And speaking of, J.P. Hurlbert will join the U.S. National Development Team. He's on the U-17 roster, so he's on that fast track. I don't think J.P. Hurlbert will be a Blazer anytime soon. But appreciate the question, Glenn, and keep sending those questions for sure. What else do we have in the mailbag today? Brotherhood of Blazer goalies named Dylan. Are there any names Blazer fans should be focused in Europe for the import draft? Or can you point us to the direction of any sort of list of eligibles? Hard to find anything on that. Yes, it is hard to find anything on that. And that goes to my first answer. Again, there's not a lot of preamble to this. It's not fan-friendly. It's not exactly a science, but I hope your question is answered by my first answer here in fan mail. Guido on Twitter says, thoughts on the KI moving north to Quinnell and Williams Lake. To be honest with you, haven't thought much about that. It's great to see that Williams Lake has junior hockey again. They were a longtime partner in the BCHL. What was the Williams Lake Thunder, I think it was. They've been gone for, I think, like over a decade now. So good to see Williams Lake getting a team and Quinnell as well. Ronald on the res says, which team do you feel will win the Memorial Cup and what are the odds Everett will take the new 15-year-old defenseman? Well, the odds are very good if the camp is willing to go to Everett and that's the destination, then no doubt they take him. If not, who knows? Maybe they're willing to trade that first overall pick or make some sort of a deal. I don't know. I think he's going to Everett. I haven't forced the issue and looked into that too much. That's Everett's business. Again, didn't hear them talked about at all in the Monday news conference, though. And to the other part of the question, who is going to win the Memorial Cup? I have no idea. I just know that it's being hosted in Saginaw, and we don't even know the competitors just yet. We just know that the WHL has been in a long slump when it comes to the Memorial Cup. On patrol at the Sheriff underscore 24, who's on your list of taking a big step next year? Two players come to mind for me, both 16-year-olds this last year. I think Tommy Lafreniere showed well in his short time up with the team. I think he'll be given a role to succeed. Tommy Lafreniere is one. Nathan Boehm is into his draft year. I think he'll take a big step. Similar step that he took from 15 to 16. Still has a lot to go, ways to go in his game, different areas of his game. And I think Harrison Brunink. Sounds like he'll play Canada under 18 team. I think he'll be excellent. And we'll see what Logan Edmonstone does. I think that's another name. I hope everyone makes a step. But who makes that big step into, like, you know, reliable go-to leader? We'll wait and see on that. Those are some of the names, I think, though. And Matt at New Schooler 720 says, not WHL, but thoughts on the Coyote situation. You know what? I don't want to wade into this too far. I'm not really privy to what's going on, but obviously they're playing out of a rink the size of the Sandman Center for an NHL team or smaller. It's a great destination. You know, you think of it, everyone loves to go down in the winter to the desert, into Phoenix, fly in there. It's just a great place to go to. Weather is automatic. And watch a hockey game. The market in the States, the NHL loves that market. And they're developing players like Austin Matthew Nyes, players like that. And they're becoming a hockey factory. So I think the NHL will succeed there. But the Coyotes just haven't gotten out of their own way. They just haven't gotten out of their own way. That's been a bit of a problem. The building, the land, the deals with the different cities involved, it's a mess. But the NHL likes that market. If the Coyotes leave, sounds like there'll be another franchise granted at some point in the right situation. That's fan mail for the Mattress King. Okay, closing remarks as we wrap up episode 28. Big thanks to our guest, Aaron Keller. I hope that you got something from that chat about some of the inner workings and how this works, and maybe a personal take on having a son on the team and the dynamic that creates. I got something out of it. I learned some things I didn't know before. So great guest, Aaron, and a lot of work for the scouts here ahead to get through the next few weeks and some of these big camps and then the big draft May 8th and 9th. Closing remarks, by the way, for Pleasure Pools Plus. Check out their massive roster of affordable H2O, Cal, and Sundance spas. Or for hot tub repairs, service, or advice, talk to Len, Sari, and their staff today. And you know that now that the weather's getting nicer, everybody's thinking about that pool. And that Len and the crew at Pleasure Pools Plus is action's about to pick up, right? So we'll follow the second round of the playoffs as well, opening up Friday, Saturday. You heard the picks earlier. We have Prince George, Portland, Saskatoon, and Moose Jaw advancing after going 7 out of 8 in the opening round of the playoffs. Thanks to our title sponsor, River Shore Golf Links. They are accepting tee times now. If you can get on the course, here's what I want you to do. If you're on the course, snap a pic for me and just send it to my Twitter at John Keane NL Sports. Let's see some of the listeners and the downloaders and the playing of the podcast out on the golf course here. I know that it's that time of year. Weather looks awesome for the week ahead. So go on, enjoy a round of golf at River Shore Golf Links. Thanks to our sponsors. Again, thanks to Aaron Keller. Thanks for making this a part of your regular routine. The Blaze, episode 28, River Shore Golf Links. Have a great weekend.